Well, as you can see, there are several reasons why people think and imagine that God's mad at them. Perhaps you can relate to some of those reasons. Here with me to discuss today's topic is author and teacher Priscilla Shire. Well, Priscilla, thank you for coming to be on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we all have different experiences in our life, and the enemy loves to take those experiences and twist them into something that ends up being God's fault when really it's not. Yeah. For me, I was sexually abused by my father for many years, and my mother didn't really know how to help me, so she just didn't help me, which in effect was abandoning me to the situation. And my father was a very angry man, so I just assumed that God was angry and hard to get along with. Tell me kind of the angle that you maybe have come at this from.
Well, you know what, in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s, I just made some foolish decisions. I don't know if you have a season in your life that you look back on and don't even recognize that person who...
Oh, not a season, like most of my life.
Right, where you just kind of are in relationship with people, you're trying to, you know, you can't imagine that you allowed yourself to be, or you made those decisions, or you just weren't thinking clearly. And I look back on that season and I'm amazed that God would have been gracious enough to be patient with me through that season and to still use me on the other side of it for any purpose for His glory. I had a season where I just made poor choices.
Well, you know, I think it's good to establish that we're not saying that God can't get angry.
Right.
Or that He's not angry about sin and rebellion, but God is not angry at us. He's always trying to draw us to Him for healing and restoration.
Yeah.
And one of the great revelations that God has given me in my life is that God is very much able to separate who we are in Christ from what we do.
Aren't we glad about it?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about your own children.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever told your children, no matter what you do, I'll always love you?
No matter what they do, we'll always love them. And I'm so glad that my parents had that view about me, that they just would love me regardless. And there was even an illustration about that when my oldest son was young. We were on an airplane going somewhere. He was like 4 months old. And, you know, my husband was cuddling him up close. And then all of a sudden, I'd fallen off to sleep. And then I woke up because there was a smell. And that telltale sign that mama is needed.
Right.
And I look back over at my husband, and he's holding that baby that he was cuddling. He's kind of holding him out. And I grabbed the baby powder and all that and went to the airplane bathroom and got him all taken care of and then took him back to dad. And the same dad who was holding him out like this a minute ago, now he cuddled that fresh-smelling baby up in his arms. And I thought, that is so much like our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Jackson was no less his father's son just because he was holding him at a distance.
Right.
The relationship was still intact, but he was just in so much of a mess at that time that there was distance in their fellowship. And so it's the same thing with us. When we're sitting in our mess, it's not that our relationship with God has been severed. It's only that there might be some distance in the fellowship, the intimacy, the experience of God in your life, unless we deal with the mess, get it cleaned up. And that's what conviction is all about.
Right.
You know, when we're convicted, when we sense that conviction, we need to celebrate, because that's the Holy Spirit saying, come on, let's get on to the business of you and He getting back into relationship with one another.
And the Bible says plainly that those whom God loves, He chastises.
Yeah.
So even when we do feel, you know, that God is dealing with us, for lack of better terms, it is because He loves us. And, you know, I used to think, oh, God, you know, is there always going to be another thing wrong with me, another thing that you're dealing with me about? And I've come full circle to now saying, God, please don't ever leave me alone.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more frightening than staying the way we are. You know, but let's talk for a minute about a couple of people who said they've had a lot of bad things happen in their life. And so they assumed that these bad things were happening because God is angry at them. Well, first of all, we live in a pretty nasty world.
Yeah.
And the devil is alive and well on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And there are things that happen, but God is not the author of bad things.
Right. And He often will sometimes allow things to pass through His fingers into our lives. And honestly, some of those why questions, we are just not going to have answered. In fact, we could drive ourselves crazy trying to come up with an answer as to why God would allow certain things in our life. But we can know and have the hope that on the backside of that, He is ever present. He is watching us. He is faithful to finish the work that He started in our life. And some of that obviously sometimes doesn't help deal with the pain you have at night when you roll over and the tears are falling down your cheeks. And yet, in a sense, it should, because there is such a great hope that we have because of our relationship with Christ, that this is not our home. that we are on our way somewhere,
yeah.
That this ain't it. And, you know, folks who have not placed faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know how they make it from day to day.
I would not even bother to get out of bed in the morning if
Wouldn't
I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, there are bad things that happen to people.
Yeah.
You know, I unexpectedly, just as I went to the doctor for a checkup 22 years ago, found out I had breast cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, I was a faith preacher. You know, you don't have breast cancer when you're out preaching faith all the time. And God walked me through that, and I don't know why it happened, but, you know, I don't have to know why.
Yeah.
I do know that He walked me through it. The outcome was great. I've been cancer-free 22 years, never have a problem. And, you know, even if God permitted that in my life or didn't move it out of the way, just for other people to know that we go through real problems and we understand what they're going through. The thing is we don't always have to understand the why.
Exactly. To trust God.
To trust God.
Yeah.
And so God doesn't want to hear us, well, why God, why? And when God, when? He really wants to hear, I trust you. And interestingly enough, when I got the report about that I had breast cancer, last thing in the world I was expecting.
Yeah.
Last thing I was expecting. And then was told that I needed to have a very severe operation, which I didn't want that either. Thankfully, none of it had gotten to any of my lymph nodes. It was caught very early. So really it was a blessing. They said the tumor was so small that it's a wonder they even detected it, but it was a fast-growing type of cancer. So I had to have a radical surgery. But right in the beginning, the thing that God put in my heart is, I want to hear you say, God, I know that you love me. And see, that's what we're talking about here today. Knowing that God loves you to the point where when difficult things happen, the first thing out of your mouth is not, well, God, don't you love me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I trust you. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I walked around for those couple of weeks before the surgery saying, God, I know that you love me. I know that you love me. I know that you love me. And I think that honors God.
I think it does too.
And
you know, I've been thinking a lot, to your point, thinking a lot about Gideon, you know, Judges chapter 6. Here's this guy threshing wheat in hiding because he can't come out in the open because the Midianites have been oppressing them for 7 long years. So this is a consistent, constant, ongoing, horrific problem in his life and the life of the people that he loves, the nation of Israel. And he questioned God. He was like, well, if he's for us, if he's with us, then why are all these bad things happening to us? And that sounds like the questions we ask when we're facing difficulty on all sides over a consistent period of time.
Right.
And yet when you think about it, the mere fact that Gideon was threshing wheat, even though he had to do it in a wine press and undercover because of the difficulty, the mere fact that he was threshing wheat was a sign that God was still faithful to them because of his covenant with them. It's the same thing with us. Even in our difficulty, if we will ask the Lord for spiritual vision to see clearly, we will see signs of his favor even hidden underneath the difficulty that we might be facing.
Exactly.
Because of his covenant with us, he cannot be faithless in his relationship with us.
That's exactly
right. He has to deal with us loyally.
Yeah, the Bible says even when we are faithless, God is faithful.
That's exactly right. Yes.
And so that's amazing. You know, Priscilla, one of the things that I heard one time that just stuck with me and really, really blessed me, a gentleman that I know whose son died from kind of a long, protracted illness. Obviously, he was believing for a miracle, believing for the son's healing. And the boy died. And he was very angry and kind of like more or less got in God's face, so to speak, and said, where were you when my son died? And he said the answer that came back, now listen to this, was, I was the same place I was when mine died.
Oh.
Is that not powerful?
That is powerful.
The same place I was when mine died.
Oh.
You know, God sent his only son to die for us. And, I mean, you have to love somebody a lot to do that. And so when we have difficulties, we need to realize that even though when Jesus was dying and his disciples were so disappointed and, you know, they felt like, you know, well, we were believing for something different than this and now here we are by ourselves, God had something so amazingly good in mind that it's still shocking our minds. And I believe that God has something good in mind for you too when you feel that you don't understand what's going on in your life and it hasn't been fair. You know, there's really no guarantee in the Bible that life is fair, but God is a God of justice. And so what that means is God will take things that are wrong and he will turn them around and make them right in our life. I know God has done that for me. I believe He's done it for Priscilla. I know that He's done it for many of you. And if you feel like that hasn't happened in your life, then I want to make sure that you stay tuned, because we're going to have more for you right after this break.
Ladies, the time to register for our annual Love Life Women's Conference right here in beautiful downtown St. Louis is upon us. Don't wait any longer. Just look at the amazing things that will be happening. And we realize there are a lot of details for you to arrange to get here. But remember, this is so important for you, and what's good for you is good for your family. So go online, call us today, register at the door, do whatever you can to be here in St. Louis.
I would just always feel bad.
Am I good enough? Did I do it right?
The bad news, we've all messed up. The good news, God is not mad at you. In her new book, best-selling author Joyce Meyer shows that even though we're not perfect, God still loves us. Today, we're offering God is Not Mad at You for your donation of any amount. 1-800-727-9673.
It helped me to feel really good. It makes me feel peaceful.
Well, welcome back to the program. You know, earlier we showed you a few people who believed that God was mad at them. And here's how they overcame that wrong belief.
I didn't even know how to love my God, but He never stopped loving me.
I took Him for granted, you know, but He's the love of my life. I'm building a better relationship with God, that He comes first for me. I wouldn't have the clothes on my back if it wasn't for Him. I wouldn't have a good job.
God showed me, before I gave you to this world through your parents, you were with me. I'm your family, and everything's perfect.
I know He loves me, and looking back, I see where He actually protected me more than I ever thought at that time. At that time, I thought it was my toughness, my anger, my rage that was protecting me from being hurt worse than I could have been. But I realized it was Him. He was protecting me all along.
Because of where I am spiritually now, I know how much love God has for me.
When I encountered, you know, my own experience with God, that transformed me. So I must say God was not mad at me. God was, you know, waiting for me. Sometimes we think that God is not listening, but He's listening. Sometimes we need to step a little more forward and just let Him in and receive His love.
Well, Priscilla, it's good to know that people can work through their wrong beliefs and come to a place of truth in their life.
Yeah.
That's just, the Word of God is just so valuable. I think about the value of the Word all the time. Just quickly, what has God's Word done for you in your life?
Well, it's renewed my mind, meaning it has literally changed the way I see myself, the way I see Him, and the way I see the people that are closest to me. I don't think we take that literally when the Bible talks about how your mind can be renewed and literally transformed. We don't take it literally, but for real.
How to think differently.
That's right. Your thought patterns will be completely different, which in turn then shapes your whole destiny and shapes the way you live each and every day.
Right. Well, you know, certainly the Word of God renewed my mind like it did yours. And one of my wrong beliefs was because my dad was mad all the time. You know, I mean, I had years and years and years to get entrenched in thinking that fathers are just angry people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, it's like I knew God loved me, but I felt that every time I made a mistake, I was in trouble. And of course, we make mistakes every day, because that's the way my dad was. And I've learned that God is not nearly as hard to get along with as we think He is.
That's right. That's right. He is extraordinarily patient and long-suffering. And, you know, I was just thinking about how when Paul wrote his letter to Timothy, he said, you know, I want to concentrate on the great endurance, the great patience of God. And he labels all this stuff. He says, you know, I was saved. I was changed. God has used me. And he's like, just because the Lord has done all this stuff with me, Paul, the chief of all sinners, he says, that's a testament to the patience of God. And when you think about it, of all the amazing attributes of God, his patience is like the central link on the chain of all those
right.
attributes.
Yeah.
Because if it weren't for his patience, we'd never live long enough to
right.
experience all the
That's
other
right.
great things about our God. So the fact that we're still alive, that
right.
he's still tarrying with us each and every day, that's a sentiment to how patient and kind and loving he really is.
Right. I think, Priscilla, that one of the mistakes that we make, probably one of the big mistakes we make, is we tend to focus on what's wrong with us instead of what's right with God.
Yeah.
And in Hebrews 12, it says, looking away from all that will distract.
Yeah,
unto Jesus.
Us.
Yeah, including us. And so I've even had to learn that my own faults and weaknesses distract me
mm-hmm.
from my relationship with God. If somebody's watching today and they really don't know the love of God and they could have that revelation, how do you think it changes people?
I think it enables you and empowers you to be authentic, to once and for all not feel like you have to impress God
That's good.
Or anyone else with who you are. If I allowed myself, I would be steeped in so much insecurity and intimidation, not just about ministry, but about being a wife and a mom. Sometimes I just feel like, I can't do this. I cannot. I am not equipped. I do not have the patience. I don't have the level of skill, whatever, mm-hmm. to do what it is that God has called me to do in many areas of life. And if I let myself, I would constantly be feeling like I have to prove myself in
right.
the areas
yeah.
where I am deficient. The love of God frees you up once and for all to just lay back, relax, be who you are,
right.
the best that you can be. To the glory of God,
right.
but to just be who you are and know that you are accepted and you don't have to impress him or anybody else.
Well, see, the truth is all those things that you said, you know, I'm not this, I'm not,
yeah.
you're right, but Christ will be those things
That's right.
through us. And so I always say it's good to try to give God what you are, what you feel the best part of you is, but give him what you're not.
Exactly.
It's very important to say, you know, I'm not, but like he said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So we don't even have to hide our weaknesses from God because he knows everything anyway. And I was reading something this morning that just really struck me strong. It's not our weaknesses that we have to be concerned about. It's wickedness.
Yeah.
So if we're wicked, now we have a problem. But you know what? I know I'm not wicked. You know you're not wicked. I mean, I love God. You know, the people watching today, you know, probably if you were a wicked person, you wouldn't even be sitting there listening to me. But you probably do have weaknesses, and the enemy blows those things out of proportion
yeah.
and tries to make us think that if we're not perfect, God cannot love us because he's perfect. But the fact is he sent Jesus to die for imperfect people.
That's exactly right. And then he empowers us with his spirit.
That's
so
exactly
that he,
right.
so that he can allow us to reach a standard that he knows in our humanity and our frailty. He knows we can't be exactly what it is that he has designed for us to be. So he gives us himself to empower us to be the women and men that God has called us to
That's
be.
That's right. And you know, the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Mm-hmm. And so if God expects us to be merciful to people rather than judging them for their faults and their weaknesses, then why do we expect less than that from God?
Exactly.
He never is going to tell any of us to do something that he doesn't first give to us. You know, he's not going to tell me to love you if he doesn't put love in me. So he deposits that love in us, then encourages us to love others. He gives you mercy.
Yep.
So you can be merciful to your husband when he doesn't suit you, or your children when they don't, or your friends, or me if I need it, or whoever. And so we can always be assured that anything that we see the Bible teaching us to do, God is already willing to do that for us. So whatever you've done in your life that's wrong, that you might be thinking God is mad at you for, first of all, he may not like what you did, but he does love you. Please try to separate who you are from what you do and receive the mercy of God today. Talk to us a little bit, Priscilla, about God's mercy and how beautiful that is.
Well, I think that his mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. And
exactly.
when you think about, man, I have never loved my husband more than when I know he is a little bit upset and angry because one of the boys have done something that they had no business doing. And I could just see it written all over his face. And my husband's a big guy, so he's towering over those little sons of
yeah.
ours. And, you know, just his presence is enough to scare the living daylights out
right,
of the boys.
Yeah.
But when I see him decide on occasion, he may say, you know what? mercy is what's going to prevail in this situation. I'm not going to excuse what the boys did. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to make sure to deal with them and to make sure that they know what was wrong and they need to change their actions. But I'm going to let this one go in terms of discipline, in terms of consequence, because I just want them to see what mercy feels like. I have never loved my husband more where I'm standing there shivering in the background because I'm scared for my boys.
Yeah, right.
But when Jerry on occasion wants to show them mercy,
that's good.
Man, our whole family gets a picture of God, that he doesn't excuse our sin, but that mercy is so beautiful and becoming and gracious when it's done from father to son here on earth, but also when we see that that is exactly how our Heavenly Father treats us. He does not give us everything we deserve, because again, if he did, we wouldn't be here having this conversation
That's
today.
Right.
It's that he has massaged us with his grace and his mercy that allows us to have these kinds of conversations and keep our eyes focused on him. Christianity is not intrinsic. It's not about us. We're so focused on us that we've lost sight of what matters most. And that is, like you said, not what's wrong with us, but all the amazing things that are right with God and that transform us in the end.
You know, I tell a story frequently about my son when he was just a little boy. He's a grown man now and has a key role here at the ministry. But he was not a very disciplined little guy. And he was very bubbly, sanguine, happy-go-lucky personality, so he wasn't very interested in his chores and things like that. So in an effort to try to get him to learn some responsibility, we gave him, made up a list of these chores, you know, feed the dog, give the dog water, make your bed. I mean, it was a handful of things, but none of them were very difficult, but they were little things he needed to do every day. And so we told him, you know, the days that you do them right, you'll get a check mark, you get enough of those check marks, then we'll do something special for you. And when I was trying to understand this mercy triumphs over judgment and go and learn what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Mm. Go and learn what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And I kept running across that scripture thinking, what are you trying to show me, God? And then this example came to me in my thinking about our son when he would be outside playing. And there was a neighborhood bully that was always taking his ball away from him and throwing it down the sewer. And so I remember times when my son would be outside playing, he'd come in the garage screaming, "Daddy!" And you knew from the sound that he was hurting or that bully was after him. And I have seen my husband just about tear the door off the hinges to get out there to help him. And the thing that came to my mind is Dave never stood up and said, "Joyce, I hear our son screaming for help. Would you go down and check his chart, see how many check marks he has, and then I'll decide if I can go help him."
Yeah.
And that's the way we act like that God is a lot of times. It's like, well, if I didn't get all my check marks, if I didn't do everything I was supposed to do, and I don't have enough check marks, then there's no point in me asking God for help because he's not going to help me because he's angry at me.
Yeah.
And surely if we can show our children mercy, then we can expect God to give us mercy. Well, Priscilla, you're going to be at the Women's Conference this year, and so what do you think? Why would you encourage women to come to this? What do you think it will do for them to be locked up with us and God all weekend?
Poor things.
Yeah, poor things, talking about the fact that they're special and God's not mad at them.
Well, first of all, I think when you come aside and carve out time to be with God away from the regular rhythms of your everyday life, I think he honors that.
Yeah,
I think when you sow spiritually, you will reap spiritually, and so God's going to honor our time together. Secondly, I think there's something really special that happens when folks gather together across lines that would normally divide.
Right.
So racially, geographically, denominationally, you got all these people coming together under one roof. Psalm 133 is the only place in Scripture where God commands a blessing. And he says, I command it where sister in this case, dwell together in unity, I command that there's going to be a blessing.
That's
so we're
going
to be underneath
That's
an open
good.
Heaven of God's favor and his blessing upon us. And I personally don't want to miss it because I want to be there for whatever he has in store in this unified group of folks who are going to be gathered together to hear from God.
And we do have people from every denomination, no denomination.
Yeah.
You don't have to be exactly like me or exactly like anybody else. You come and sit at the feet of Jesus in your thinking to receive from him the love that is going to heal you. And you know, just to get you started, we're offering you my book, God Is Not Mad at You. It's going to be a real blessing to you. Brand new book, God Is Not Mad at You. It is just full of all the reasons
why God is not mad at you, helping you to receive the love of God and that acceptance that God wants to give you. So thank you for being with us today. Thank you, Priscilla, and God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and remember, God is not mad at you.
I would just always feel bad.
Am I good enough? Did I do it right?
The bad news, we've all messed up. The good news, God is not mad at you. In her new book, best-selling author Joyce Meyer shows that even though we're not perfect, God still loves us. Today, we're offering God is Not Mad at You for your donation of any amount. 1-800-727-9673.
It helped me to feel really good. It makes me feel peaceful.
People get excited about Magazine Day.
Start your free subscription to the Enjoying Everyday Life magazine today. Did I mention it's free? Oh yeah, it's free. And all you need to do to get it is call or click today.
You mean more to us at Joyce Meyer Ministries than you may ever know. We appreciate you, and we thank our friends and partners for making this worldwide ministry possible. Together, we're feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, and presenting the gospel to the nations. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org today to share your prayer requests, find out more about our resources, see Joyce's conference schedule, and to join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.